Bible Studies with your host and Bible teacher, Chris McCann. We invite you to our website at ebiblefellowship.org for additional Bible studies. And now with his study in the book of Romans, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of Romans. Tonight is study number 22 of Romans chapter 1. We're going to begin reading in verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. All right. In our last study, we were looking at verse 8, which again says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And I mention that it seems improbable that the faith of the Roman believers was literally spoken of throughout the whole world. We don't find any major miracle or dramatic event that takes place in Rome that would have the whole world buzzing, speaking about it, and discussing the faith of those believers, those few believers that were in Rome. And from there, we started looking at this statement, your faith, or thy faith, your faith. And we saw that in Luke 7, verse 50, that Jesus said to the woman who had washed his feet with ointment, thy faith has saved thee. And we realized, well, it could not possibly have been her own personal faith belonging to her, that saved her, because the Bible is clear that faith is a work. So we started looking at some verses. For example, in Acts 26, verse 17 and 18, and this is the Apostle Paul recounting what the Lord Jesus has said, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That is in Jesus himself. That is the faith that sanctifies, that saves, that forgives sin. That is the faith which justifies, as we saw in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. By the faith of Christ. And let's take a look at some other verses. Galatians 2. We read Galatians 2:16. Look at Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It does not say, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. No, it's the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The faith of Christ is what saves. It is what moves within the life, the soul of the one who has the indwelling presence of Christ, the Spirit of Christ granted to them after they were saved by his faith, sometimes you'll find these individuals, Reformed individuals, and they're pretty slippery, and they go to someone who they say knows Greek grammar very well, and when they see Galatians 2:16 that it says that it's the faith of Christ, then they say, oh, that's instrumental genitive, or an objective genitive is how they refer to it. And basically, it's just a word to get it to say what they want it to say. It's a wrong use of grammar. The King James translators were a team of 70 of the best theologians, the best scholars in Hebrew and Greek that could be found at that time, and certainly better than anybody today, and they translated it properly in Galatians 2:16 and in Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. I guess that's another objective genitive. And, well, they're all over the place because we're going to read some more. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, it says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, and if it's by our faith, that would be a work of the law, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, the faith of Christ. That's the righteousness that justifies, that saves the sinner. And again and again and again, it's pointing to Jesus. And Jesus is the one, and that's why the Bible tells us, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, yes, through faith, however, or but, that, not of yourselves, not your faith. How much more plain does it need to be? Not your faith, man. As a matter of fact, the Bible says all men have not faith in Thessalonians. We don't have faith because we're dead in sin, and a dead heart cannot exercise faith. It's dead, and it cannot believe. It cannot trust God unto salvation. So God has to do it for those that he has saved through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we read in Hebrews 10, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37 and 38, it says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. See, the just shall live by faith. And God was quoting from Habakkuk. In Habakkuk chapter 2 and in verse 3 and 4, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak. Really, he shall speak, because it's speaking of the Holy Spirit. And not lie, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. His faith. No, not yours, not mine, but Christ's faith. That the personal pronoun was left out of Hebrews. Again, God laying a trap Oh, the just will live by faith. I have to have faith. No, no way. It is the faith of Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is His faith that is all in all to one of God's elect. All right, let's go back to Romans. Romans 1, and look at this verse, verse 8 again. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Your faith is spoken of. And, you know, that just plays right into the pride of man. He loves to be the center of attention. He loves the idea that he's the one who will be lifted up and exalted and talked about in all the world, spoken of in all the world. And you know, there's we're all in the flesh, and there's still pride that resides in the flesh of even those that God has given new hearts to. And so it's very easy for us to go along with that kind of understanding. But it's not correct. I wasn't sure about this at first because of the way it's written. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Well, why couldn't it be their faith? And we know God moves within us to will and to do of His good pleasure. So ultimately, He gets the glory anyway. So maybe, yeah, it's just the Apostle Paul writing a friendly greeting. Do we really think that Paul is using language to puff up the listeners? And keep in mind, it's not Paul at all. It's God using Paul as an instrument, moving him to write exactly the words that he wishes and intends to be written. And so this is God. God doesn't try to flatter man. He doesn't try to puff up any individual to be a respecter of person in any way. God tells us the hard truth in His Word, the Bible. And, you know, there's many places you can read in the Bible where God speaks truth that is extremely grievous to hear. And so, no, it has nothing to do with Paul writing a letter as we would write a letter, trying to make nice with the person because we have some more difficult and harsh things to tell them. And in the book of Romans, there will be those things. But we want to start out nice and soft. No, nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. But I still, because it says your faith and the way that we speak, it does kind of make us want to think it was the faith of the believers in Rome that somehow, strangely, was spoken of throughout the whole world. But no, there's actually confirmation of what we were just talking about, that it's the faith of Christ. And you see, when we understand that their faith, the believers in Rome, their faith, as well as Paul's faith, as well as all of God's elect's faith, is Christ, and Christ Himself at that time, as well as today, and throughout all the generations, was indeed spoken of throughout all the world. It is true of Christ, isn't it? That all the Roman Empire and all who heard of the things that took place just a few short years earlier as Jesus performed mighty miracles and went to the cross and all the incredible things that happened just a couple of decades earlier were certainly spoken of throughout the whole world. So he qualifies where the believers in Rome, those, you know, pretty much unknown people who did no mighty deeds or miracles, it's very unlikely that their faith would be spoken of throughout the whole world. But there's confirmation of this in the form of the word spoken. Your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And when we look up that word, it's Strong's number 2605 in the Greek Concordance. It's found 17 times in the New Testament. 10 times out of the 17, it's translated as preach. And one time it's translated as teach. And I think one time as declare, or two or three times as declare. And one time it's translated spoken of here in this verse. So let's look at some of these verses where this particular Greek word is used. Let's first go to Acts 4, verse 2. And there it says, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And the word preached is the word translated spoken of. In Acts 13, verse 5, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And in Acts 13, verse 38, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. In Philippians chapter 1, two times in chapter 1, first time in verse 16, the one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. So preach in verse 16 and preached in verse 18, the same word. Going back to Acts chapter 16, verse 17, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And I think it's the word shew. The translators could have translated that, which preach unto us the way of salvation. It would have probably been better translated. And in verse 21 of Acts 16, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. That is, the masters of that woman accused Paul and what he was teaching or what he was preaching. So there the word teach identifies with his preaching in that city. In Acts 17, verse 2, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. So in all these verses, and actually out of the 17 times that this Greek word is used in the New Testament, the other 16 times, apart from Romans chapter 1 in our verse, the other 16 times are focused on preaching Christ or preaching the Word of God or preaching the gospel. All 16 of them, only in Romans 1, verse 8, would it differ if it were referring to the believers in Rome and their faith? Because, let's put the word preached in here. In Romans 1, verse 8, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is preached throughout the whole world. Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible. No, we wouldn't want that. The believers in Rome wouldn't want that. No elect child of God would want that kind of statement made about them, that our faith is preached. That's not the point of sharing the gospel. No, remember what we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says in verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. That is the heart's desire of every elect child of God. We do not preach ourselves. We do not preach our faith. We preach the faith of Christ. That's why it's an impossibility. It's just not possible for this verse to say, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is preached or taught or declared, which are these other synonyms, throughout the whole world. It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. Only when we realize, oh, okay. Okay, just as with that woman in Luke 7, verse 50. Thy faith has saved thee, meaning Jesus, thy God, has saved thee. And her faith was her God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who did the saving work on her behalf. Likewise, the faith of the Roman believers is Christ. He is the one preached throughout the whole world. And then we have harmony with the whole Bible, and we have God glorified. He is the focus of his word, of course, as he should be, and not ourselves and not any believer. No, that ought never be the case.
You've been listening to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your host and Bible teacher, Chris McCann. Visit our website at ebiblefellowship.org for additional studies. Until next time, may the Lord's perfect will be done.